Good morning. Glad to see you all out this morning, and a beautiful morning it is. I think we probably should get ready for a weather change toward the end of the day. What they tell me on the Weather Channel, anyway, if they know what they're talking about. But anyway, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be up here today to bring you a message, and I, of course, most of all, I hope it's well received, but I do want to try to make it to where everybody gets my drift, and now that may be a little hard to do. Those of you that know me very well, sometimes I might not communicate the way y'all would, so anyway. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning with my church family and just the fact that we can all gather to hear your word and to later study your word, Lord, without fear of persecution, Lord, and such a blessing that is because, of course, around the world, we hear and see things that are so terrible, Lord. And we just thank you for the freedom that we have here. And we just ask that as time goes on, your hand will take over and it will be that way around the world. So thank you again for the day. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. I want to start out my title for my message. I'll put it in my words. Ethel had to shorten it just a fraction so it would fit on the paper, and that's my fault. But anyway, do what you can for the Lord, and He'll take care of the rest. And if you just think about it, the fact that we go along day to day, and how often do you truly think about what the Lord has blessed you with and how He's blessing you? Every breath you take is a blessing. So the fact that He is just there nonstop, and I come up with some thoughts that I've had. He, to Elmer's communion meditation, He sent His Son to save us, of course, and then to die for us and to rise so that we all have the opportunity, if we follow Him, to spend eternity in heaven. So there's four things, that are pretty important in our lives so that we're not on the other side of that family unit that Elmer talked about. We want to be in God's family. Then He has already done the hard part when He came to the earth to live here with us. So sometimes I say if I'm not trying to work my way to heaven, how bad do I want to go? And I know you can't work your way to heaven. That is explained in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So that takes care of my little saying as far as me thinking I can work to heaven. But as I go on through the message here, I hope that we'll be able to see the idea behind that saying, because each and every day we can do things that they're not working. If you have the love of the Lord you need to have, to have that relationship with Him, to get to heaven, it's not work, it's a joy when you have that opportunity. So we'll go ahead, and I will, I've got a couple questions with me going on like I am that I want you just to think about. Now, we probably won't have a quiz after the message, but something to think about, and later as I read my scripture for the day, you'll see where it comes from. It says, without works, can one who says they have faith be saved? And I want to give you my answers first so y'all can't use mine. But of course we can be saved without works, because God can do anything. But I think as we continue on through the message, you'll understand my thinking on it, maybe. And the second question, was Abraham justified by his works and not by faith alone? And come up with, together he believed and acted. It was credited him for righteousness and was called God's friend. So we know Abraham's story of taking Isaac up on the mountain to the altar, and he didn't question God. He just took his son, and as the Bible says, his only son, up there and put him on that altar. And main question of those two, the first is, will faith alone save you? And I think that is a kind of one of those decisions that you have to make for yourself. Are you willing to just say, I believe in God, and then sit on your pockets all day long and not do anything? Because there's always a mission, a small task that we can do as Christians that would help someone else come closer to God. And that's what we're all here for, is to be able to lead others to the Lord. Okay, and I'll read the scripture reading for today, and it comes from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 through the end of the chapter. It says, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise was Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, to continue on, the James 2:24, you see a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And going back to James 2:18, someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." So that's something to think about. They go, that faith has to be there first, or we wouldn't be wanting to do what God would have us to do. But then, faith without those deeds makes you wonder how much you want to honor God. And that's how we can honor Him, is by doing the things that He's given to us to do. And it's not like a job. It'll be things that you might not even think about, but here they are. And all you have to do is reach out and take hold of that particular job. And, you know, it's like you're working, but the Lord provided it for you. So that, to me, gets rid of the word, "work my way to heaven." God provided what I needed to get there if only I'll take hold of it. James 2:19 addresses the thought of there being one God. James says, "Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Sad to think so many don't believe there is only one God after James 2:19, because so many people are looking for another way. And of course, to Elmer's point, there's only two ways, and we know what they are. So you got to make up your mind what you're going to do. Then the rest of chapter 2 deals with examples of people following the knowledge of God and the fact that we have to have faith in Him before we are able to complete the task that He has in mind for us to accomplish. There again, if you don't have that faith, you're not looking for those little jobs that you can do to help someone else along the road. Abraham, with his family, left Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. After many years and trials, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a son, Isaac, as he had promised. Then, a few years down the road, God tested Abraham by telling him to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, as a burnt offering. When it was time to kill Isaac on the altar Abraham had built, the angel of the Lord stopped him. At this time, the angel said he knew Abraham feared the Lord because Abraham had not withheld his son, his only son, from him. God had provided Abraham a ram for the burnt offering. So see, there again, the Lord, if you are trying to follow Him, He's always got a plan. And so that whatever the need may be, He will take care of it if we're trying to follow Him. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, because Abraham had not withheld his son, his only son, that the Lord would bless him and make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, and as the sands on the seashore. Then verse 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. And these commentaries that I want to use on these next three verses come from Lynchburg Bible College, and just wanted to make reference to them so you'd know that I didn't think of them by myself. So anyway, verse 24, that one that I just read, says that man is justified by works and not faith alone. In a court, if a man's motives come in question, the only way to justify or vindicate his motive is to examine his acts. Genuine faith is conscious of others. Pure religion involves a life of ministry, not what a person thinks of himself or herself. So there's, from that commentary, there's two things that what we've been talking about this morning. The fact that your acts is what makes you conscious of other people in trying to come alongside them and help them with their walk with the Lord. Then on down to verse 25, said, let me see, tells us that Rahab the harlot was also justified by works when she had received the spies and then sent them out a different way. And the commentary for that, Rahab's works were done in faith. Actions were required to show her inner change. Had she remained in sin, she would not have been declared righteous. So there again tells us that we need to make a change to follow God. We can't just say, I believe in God and it's good, so that we have to make a change inside in our hearts. Then on to verse 26. Says, states that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And a body without spirit, translated breath, is dead. A breathless body emits no indication of life. So fruitless faith exhibits nothing more than hypocrisy. So that, to me, says a lot to what we've been saying about the fact that if we don't have actions for the Lord, it's hard to say we are following the Lord. And Nancy, I'm not quite ready. I've still got some more talking, but I started out my paragraph in closing. But each time I'd go over this, I could come up with something else I thought I should say. So anyway, I know that we have to have faith in God and Jesus Christ to begin our relationship with God. I do believe that we always need to think of furthering God's kingdom here on earth by the works we can participate in to further His kingdom and spread the good news of His saving grace. And I wanted to read in a passage that most all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, but it comes from the book of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. I want to read all the way through verse 6. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Of course, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answers and says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me." So as I've touched on, tried to touch on several times this morning, the fact that we have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ if, first of all, you want to meet God in heaven. And secondly, if you want to miss going the other way. And that is, that's like Elmer said, his communion meditation fit very well with what I'm trying to bring out. But it's the fact that that is our decision. No one can make it for you. And whatever you decide, you will be judged on your decision. And a fellow once told me, talking about going before the Lord's judgment seat, and he said, "Well, I'd like to have somebody go with me, but the way I understand it, I'm going to have to go by myself. So I need to kindly change my ways," in which we can all do that because we all are sinners. And but the good part of it is that if we are making the effort that we need to follow the Lord, then he's gracious, because from Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says that saving is by grace and not by works. So the fact that we have faith in God to follow him, and then he will be gracious to us. Then I had one more little thing that I really thought about when I was first preparing this message. And, you know, we can all make excuses for why we don't do this or why we don't do that. You know, I'm pretty tired and I'm pretty busy. And maybe I'll just put off doing that one little task. And I think we all have been blessed with a very, very good example of someone going beyond their typical limits. And I think that is from Melvin. Of course, he has recently retired. But golly, how many of us are 92 years old? And it's such a blessing for us to have been here and he to have ministered to us all of the years that he has. And yet, fact that he just kept on until it just became nearly impossible for him to minister to us. Oh, I've got one more. In closing, Nancy, I'll give you the sign, because I just wanted to make mention of the fact that whenever I think I'm too tired or I'm too busy to be right here in this church on Sunday morning, for that matter, and I know y'all are here this morning or you wouldn't be hearing what I'm saying, but the point being, how thankful I am that the Lord didn't get tired, that the Lord didn't give up on the task before him when he came to live here on earth, to minister to us, and then to die on that cross. But the main thing we got going for us is that he arose and he is our Lord and Savior. And when we put our trust and our hope in him, we will be able to go spend eternity in heaven with him. So that brings it to an end. Nancy, I'll try to help start this song.